It's been like this before, and he snapped out of it.
Ryan pushed the door open a little farther, his Sig Sauer cocked and ready in his right hand. A slow wave of moist warmth coiled out, making him take a deep breath.
Feels like swamp country.
The small room beyond was much like the others in previously visited redoubts. This one was about 15 feet square, with a table upended in one corner. A double row of shelves was empty. On the floor was a layer of smeared mud and a baseball cap with a torn fastener. The second door was closed.
I have nothing to say, officer. I shall plead the Fifth Amendment, but spare the gray hairs of my poor old mother.
Shut up, Doc.
The old man succeeded in making a bow toward him, despite the efforts of Mildred and JB to hold him steady. Ryan eased the door open a quarter inch and pressed his right eye to the narrow crack. He opened it a touch farther, then pushed it wide. The control area of the Matran's gateway was much like the others. Row upon row of desks, each with a comp console, with a constant flow of information dancing across each screen. Run by timeless nuke generators, these sections would carry on for eternity, relaying and sifting information as they'd been programmed a century before.
I believe that I was once the proud owner of a Malacca cane with a hidden blade of steel and the carved head of a silver lion. Perhaps one of you servants would be good enough to find it for me. I shall reward you with a union card and a wedding coat.
His sword stick. I'll get it. Sit him down, then wreck the place. Check the sec doors.
Carter went back into the antechamber, seeing the long black weapon lying on the floor of the main chamber. As he picked it up and walked out again, his eye was caught by a crumpled scrap of paper, almost buried in the dust. It looked as if it had been hidden by the discarded baseball cap. Ryan's insatiable curiosity couldn't let him just walk by it. He holstered his blaster and stooped, picking it up in his right hand. The sword stick got in the way, and he tucked it under his arm, carefully unfolding the fragile, dust-dry piece of paper. It had been torn out of a ring-bound notebook, and the writing on it was faded to the point of illegibility. Ryan angled the paper toward the light to try to make out the words. It crackled between his fingers as though it were about to disintegrate. He could see that there were a few words, each with some numbers alongside them. The sheet had been torn raggedly across the middle, and obviously dropped by accident. Ryan screwed up his eye, but the writing was too faint.
Come on, lover. You all right in there?
He'd been about to throw the shred of paper onto the floor again, but he stuffed it into one of the pockets of his coat. He soon walked back into the control room.
Here's your sword stick, Doc.
I am most grateful. One needs some sort of protection against the sturdy rogues, buggers and muggers, thugs and punks that infect the gutters of our fair city.
A faint smile puckered the corners of the old man's lips as he took the cane from Ryan, but his pale eyes still seemed to be focusing, a thousand mornings away.
At least he's up and walking well.
JB stood by the main entrance doors to the gateway complex. He turned away to talk to the other companions.
We gonna all try outside?
Ryan thought about the question for a few moments. If they left Doc here, then someone had to stay with him. Mildred didn't have the combat skills if there was serious trouble. They needed Christie's seeing for any exploration, which meant either Ryan or JB had to remain behind. And now there was the added complication of the young boy.
Let's stick together. Mildred, you and JB keep an eye on Doc. If things look condition red, then get him out. Fast as you can.
Do you want me to open the sec doors?
Yeah. Sure, JB.
The green lever that was present in almost all of the gateways was in the down position, showing the doors were locked shut. The armorer paused, lifting a hand to the barely healed wound on his neck, looking at his fingers for signs of blood.
Nothing. Thought it hurt some. Must have been a jump.
He grabbed the lever and began to heave it upward. The door began to open.
No!
The old man jerked back from Mildred's helping hand, throwing himself flat on the floor, hands spread, legs wide apart.
Close the door again, JB. Quickly.
Sure, Ryan.
The green lever was immediately pulled down. Christy knelt down by the weeping man.
What is it, Doc?
Speeding away.
What?
Such speed, my friends.
Dean tapped his forehead, grinning at Ryan.
Old man got a spent round in the chamber.
Shut up, boy.
Ryan turned to Doc.
Tell us the problem, so we can help.
The tear-stained face looked up at him. The tendons in the back of Doc's hands were straining like bowstrings with the effort of hanging on to the floor.
We'll all be thrown off. Earth moves. It does. Oh, it does. 1,050 miles an hour in rotation and 62,000 miles an hour around Father Sun. By the three Kennedys, my burning feet of fire, save me.
Ryan could feel his own anger starting to smolder along its short fuse. Unless Doc snapped out of his present dementia, at least enough to function, then it might be better to tie him up and leave him safe. That way, he wouldn't endanger anyone else's life, or his own. Mildred and JB pulled Doc to his feet, stopping him from slumping back to the floor.
Can't you help him, Christy? You have the power. Use it for him, or he'll sink.
I am not waving, my dear companions, but I fear me that I'm drowning. I shall grow not old, as you who are left will grow old. I shall not turn to the path that was not taken.
Christy stood in front of Doc, lifting her hands to touch him on either cheek. The old man cringed from her fingers.
I won't hurt you, Doc. I want to try and help.
Where we live is the end of the long, winding road. Deathlands, truly the lands of death. I once met a very old and wise man who told me what the American dream had become.
What? I always wondered about that.
Old Bull Lee, he was sometimes called, said that the American dream had become to vulgarize and falsify until the bare lie shines through.
Nobody spoke. The only sound, the whirring and clicking of all the control consoles around them. Christy closed her hands, holding Doc tightly. She shut her eyes and put her face closer to his.
May the force of Gaia cleanse you of this darkness and make you whole again.
Doc blinked, eyes rolling upward, until only the bloodshot white showed.
Hang on to him. Okay.
JB and Mildred tightened their grip.
Come on back to us, Doc. Back to your friends who care for you and love you. Come back and walk again in the shining of the sun and the turning of the tides. Come back, Doc.
Tanner's head rolled, and he seemed suddenly to become weightless. Doc's hands opened, and the sword stick clattered on the floor.
My yesterdays are ever present. Tomorrow is another now. We all know that our life must end, but no one can know how. I was once lost in a rainstorm in Juarez. Easter time it was. All I had to sustain me in that dire fog was my pearls and my amphetamines, speeding away like James Dean. I see a young man, sorely wounded, hiding among row upon row of snowy sheets, his blood crimsoning them. My head pains me, my dear Emily. A psychic light sucked forward like a cork from a temporal bottle.
His head had straightened, his eyes opening and looking at the faces all around him. Christy still held his face in her palms.
Shh. It's getting better, Doc.
It's getting better all the time. A friend once blew his mind out while sitting in a car, waiting for a set of lights to change. Better all the time. All the time. I think that I know you. The horror. Yes, the horror recedes.
Do you know us, Doc?
You are my trusty friend, Ryan of Cawdor, in whom I am well pleased. In the land of death, it is said, the one-eyed man is king.
How about me?
Christy cautiously let go of him.
Beware the wrath of Roth, Christy Roth, a lady who is perfect and gentle, yet fiery and armed against the Lords of Chaos. Thank you for your laying on of healing hands, my dear.
You're welcome, Doc. Think you can stand without any help, yeah?
Christy nodded to JB and Mildred.
Try him out.
Doc looked at his two supporters as they moved away from him.
The young lovers. And they said it wouldn't last. John Barrymore Dix. Weapons expert extraordinaire and man of few words. A chevalier without fear and without reproach. A man could not choose better company to die in. And Mildred Winonia Wyeth.
He smiled broadly at Mildred, showing his oddly perfect teeth.
Go take a flying fuck at a rolling donut, you doped-up old bastard.
Yes, I remember you, Mildred. But this young man here...